and Rosemary Sale, but more often known as Rosie, everybody round about, and those that come over. And the proprietor, landlady, the Silver Glen Hotel.
And how long have you lived on the island?
I'm born and bred Manx. I was born in Ramsey, and when I got married, I moved to Sulby. So I've been in Sulby for 22 years.
Working in the hotel?
Working all of that time in the hotel, yes.
And could you say a little bit about how you became interested in bikes?
Well, I think to start off with, if you're Manx, you're interested in bikes. I always wanted to ride a bike, but parents said no. And then when you get older and you get interested in boys, get married, have a family, there's obviously a shortage of money, so you don't do it. Unfortunately, I was widowed 5 years ago. I sat down, sorted out the rest of my life, and decided what was left was for me. I'd always wanted a motorbike, so I went out and bought one. I didn't know the first thing about it. I bought the motorbike on a Saturday afternoon, and I arrived at the Alaman Test Centre the following Sunday in a car, and the bike on a trailer. I had the keys in one hand, and some guy says to me, "Show me what you can do." I said, "Well, if you show me where to put the keys, I'll show you what I can do on it." And by the end of 4 hours, he had me riding it. So I've had a lot of encouragement from the locals in the village. 39 years old and getting your first bike, I think, is a bit of an achievement. I'd passed my test within 9 months. I then progressed on to a 650 Suzuki. I've always helped out with the bikes and the Grand Prix Supporters Club. We raise money for the rescue helicopter. I've helped out at the Halewood Centre in the pits. And then since I've come into the pub, we sponsor 4 riders.
And how did you get involved in the Women's International Motorcycling Association?
Well, as I said, 39, you're a little bit late in life to start riding a bike. And I felt being involved in a situation, well, a group called Women's International, there quite possibly would be more women who had got a bike later in life, and I'd find a little bit of support and the confidence that I needed from them, which I have done, and made a lot of friends as well all over the world.
What part do you play in the association here? Are you
just a welcoming hostel for anybody that's passing to pop in, have a cuppa, have a chat? If they have any problems while they're here, they have a number that they can contact. We'll do our best to sort them out, mm-hmm. as we do for any biker, really.
How important would you say that the TT is for you?
I'd say it was the most important 3 weeks to a month, because a lot of the bikers don't just come over for the 2 weeks. It's not just the racing and the practice. A lot of Germans come over the week before practice week so that they can enjoy the beauty of the island and then have some racing. And a lot come over for the racing and the social life of the TT, but then want the peace and quiet afterwards as well. So we actually get a month of trade from these people, you know, that come, not just for bikes, but for the island as well. But then the same again happens in September when you've got the Manx. That's building up just as much. We're getting more and more continental riders, and the English are coming back, which we haven't seen an awful lot of at the September races for ages. So if we didn't have bikes on the Isle of Man, we'd be short of a lot of trade.
Yeah, that's where you do most of your trade then?
That is, yeah. Apart from that, you couldn't meet a more friendly bunch, could you?
What's it like to be a female biker or a bike fan?
That's a difficult one. Nobody's any different in biking. Everybody, if you go along the road in a car and you watch perhaps the biker riding in front of you and the biker coming down the road, you'll notice 9 times out of 10 they always signal to each other. They always dip their head, raise a hand. You're just part of a big family. And I mean, the roughest guy you find, the guy with the long hair, the oil-drenched trousers, the chains all round about him, is probably the biggest softie that you've ever met. Looks can be very deceiving in biking. And I've seen me, I'm here on my own, trying to work, trying to have a social life as well. I'll struggle in and out with a crate of bottles of a night time. And I'll have to fight off people that will say, let me give you a hand, let me carry that in, let me do this for you. Help comes from everywhere, so it's hard work, but it's a terrific social life as well.
Mm. Is your social life based round here, round the hotel?
During this fortnight it is, because we do have quite a lot going on here. We're known to be the German embassy. I have a lot of German friends because I keep in touch with six clubs. That's all year round. They come over Christmas, Easter, New Year. The bikers come back to spend it with their families here. As I said, during this fortnight, they have their mail sent here. Bits for their bikes that they can't get here arrive by date of post. So I have this funny name, Care of the Sulby Glen. We also this year have been host to the New Zealand team. We have 10 New Zealand boys over competing on works bikes. They're trying to achieve the trophy for the team works. And the boys have all popped in as they go past, say hello. They all beat to us as they're going round. And they agreed to brought all their bikes down and sit them outside on the front here, all lined up underneath. So we've managed to get a New Zealand flag for them. And I think it'll make a lovely picture if we get them all lined up and we get the picture with the Sulby Glen and the two flags. It'll be great.
So it's quite an international feel to the place over the two teams.
Yes, we have some Italians in, we have some Swiss in. We have some English in, some Welsh in this morning, and an awful lot of Germans. Yeah. So because of the six clubs coming every year, most of them camp on the Claddock. And each club has brought between 40 and 45 members with them. I'm just not big enough to give them all a drink of the night time to come in. So last year, it wasn't a very good TT, it rained. And they were all sat out the front. We've got tables outside here. They were sat with their pints underneath the brollies trying to keep dry. So I thought for this TT, I'd hire a large marquee in car park. So we've hired that for fortnights. We have a mobile bar out there. And we put music on every evening. So we can have a party every night for the clubs when they come down. And they're not sat out in the rain if it chooses to rain.
Do you get to go to any of the bike festivals at all?
I've been invited to one in Berlin in July. I get invitations all the time for rallies and festivals, but it's a bit difficult when you're a single parent family with five children just to hop on a motorbike and disappear off. So, but I am going to try and get to this one in July.
Are your children keen as well on
The eldest boy thinks his mother's crazy. The next one down had decided his mother was crazy and now has done a complete turnabout and thinks bikes are absolutely wonderful. And the youngest two, it's a fight to see who gets on the back now to go off out.
Do you take them out quite a lot?
I do now. I've got the bigger bike. I wouldn't have taken them out on the little bike. Yeah, this is the bike that you were on this morning with the seat with the back rest on it. I feel more confident with them having the back rest there. Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, they love it.
Do they?
Yes, so much so the youngest one, we bought him a trial bike for Christmas, so we've got involved with the trialers.
How old is he?
He's 12. Mm. So he can't wait to get out on the road. But I think if he gets through the trial in first, little.
So it can be quite a good family.
Oh, it's a marvellous family. We all go out. we all meet up, even the children. I mean, I'm not the only one that takes children out on the back of bikes. We have two local clubs on the islands, and if we meet up, we can all sit and have a cup of tea, cream cake on a Sunday afternoon, and it's a right family outing, one big picnic.
Because that doesn't quite seem like a biker culture, does it, the families and children?
No, I suppose you think of it as the Hells Angels things come forward first. But I don't think all their meetings are as rough as they come over. I mean, in every organisation, you're going to get somebody somewhere that goes a little bit over the top at times. But that doesn't apply to the majority. And I can say, for 19 years that I've worked behind the bar in this pub, I have never had any trouble whatsoever during this fortnight. I've never had any problems. I've only had help, fun, and courtesy. I mean, you're treated with respect. People, if you say at the end of the night, come on, boys, it's time for bed, empty glasses and go. Explained. It's something that has to be lived. The only way I can describe it to you is I had residents staying here on a long-term basis. And after TT, they'd said to me, we thought you'd all gone crazy. All these preparations for 2 weeks of the year just for a load of motorbikes. We talked about it amongst ourselves and we couldn't understand why there was such excitement and such preparation. And after it was all finished, we realised exactly what you meant. He said, the atmosphere of the island is electric. It changes overnight. All of a sudden, everybody wakes up. There's no trade allure anymore. It's just go, go, go the whole time. Everybody really has a party. And one big family party.
And all the people get on very well together.
Well, as I said to you, I've never seen any trouble at all. Every nationality under the sun. We've had Japanese, Swedish, Italians, all the ones I mentioned to you before. Everybody in here dancing on top of my tables, holding hands. And they have this thing, I don't know what it's for, at the end of the night, where they all strike a lighter and they all wave the flame together, all stood up on the tables and the chairs. And you can imagine what it's like to get so many people in. This pub is situated on the course, but we're full inside. We have tables and chairs outside which are full. Across the road we have a church with a low wall. Everybody is sitting along the low wall. Everybody is sat over on the little parking place outside this local shop. It's just one big sea of faces singing, dancing, carrying on. It's great.
What's the feeling after the 2 weeks are over?
Somebody's died. Something's died. It's just empty, gone. To be on such a high and then it's nothing. As I said to you before, it's not the 2 weeks, it's probably the week after race week. The week after race week, there's still a lot of people here, but the next week is completely dead. You go from Ramsey to Douglas, go along the promenade, there isn't a bike. It's like the middle of winter again. It's not good. I wish I could go away for those 2 weeks afterwards and then come back.
How do you pick yourself up?
You don't, you just look forward to the Southern 100 and the Manx Grand Prix. You just go to the next race meeting. I mean, if I had my way, I'd hop on the back of the motorbike and go back with them. Because a lot of the boys from here go back to another meeting that's the next week. And they have this prize for the person who has travelled the furthest. So they have the thing that they have to go to the furthest point of the Isle of Man to get more miles to get to this meeting so that they can have the prize when they get there. I feel like getting on the back of my bike and going with them because you just don't want the atmosphere to die. You want it to just go on and on. And it's no problem working the hours. You can be packed for breakfasts and everybody's having the same laugh for breakfast that they were having the night before. then you can see a different crowd at lunchtime, a different crowd at tea time, and then everybody's back in the evening. Everybody wants to sing, everybody wants to dance, everybody wants to clink glasses together. So you just want to be with it the whole time, and the adrenaline gets going, so it's no hardship working. But when they've all gone back and it's gone dead, then all of a sudden you get so tired. You need your sleep, you need to get to bed, you need the rest, whereas for 2 weeks or 3 weeks you didn't. Mm-hmm.
What do you think will happen when your children are grown up?
I probably have another 3 bikers in the family. There'll be more of my wine store taken up for helmet space. There'll be more cans of petrol. I mean, as it is, we now have 2 motorbikes and a trailer. So I can see it just getting more and more. Each rider from his home, and if you think some come from Australia, and totalled up all the miles that people had travelled to get here, you couldn't believe how many, I'm sure. And where else in the world do you get a meeting which gets so many nationalities together? I mean, we probably do more for joining the nationalities of the world together than the UN do, really, don't we? Yeah. I mean, I hadn't thought of it like that before, but when you think of the number of people that all join together with one interest and help each other out, it's got to be great.
Where do you see the future of the TT?
Just going on and on. The TT will never die. You just go along the prom and ask any of the people there whether they'll ever come back to the TT again. And I'll bet you that you will not find one person that says he will never come back to the TT. The only thing you'll find is the person that's disappointed because he can't get back next year. You'll not find them saying that they won't come back again. The people that are the most enthusiastic are the people that are here for the first time, and they just can't get over it because they've never lived the experience. Mm-hmm. You have to live it to know what it's all about. And somebody coming up to you and saying, I've been to the TT, blah, 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 blah. What's he going on about? You know, you have to be here to do it.
Do you have to be a biker to do it?
No, you don't. Well, I mean, I'm the living proof of that. I'm born and bred Manx, and yet I didn't get a motorbike until I was 39. So you certainly don't have to be a biker to join in all the fun that goes with it, do you? And none of the guys that come to my club bring their bike with them of a night time. I mean, party time goes on all day, but it's without drink. Bikes parked up at night time and then the party starts. So they're not bikers of a night time. They might have bikes, but they're not bikers then. Yeah, there's a big distinction there. And people that ride to rallies, you're saying the difference between TT and a rally across. I mean, if any other festival, bikers have had to ride to it to get the pleasure. But here, the initial thing they ride, but after that, all the pleasure's all over the island. So they don't need to bike anymore, so they're not actually rider bikers, are they? People that are interested in bikes can come in a car and still have as much pleasure.
Mm. How does it change the island?
From black to white. Complete opposite, I'd say. Mm. People that were grumpy aren't grumpy any longer. The few that don't like the bikes, you'll find, go away to enjoy what they enjoy doing. They go away for their family holiday during these 2 weeks, which is another thing, that they're not causing bother. They're not staying here grumbling about bikes. They say, well, we don't like the bikes, they've gone. So I suppose you could say every person that's on this island over these 2 weeks is a fan. And there's some people here, isn't there? We've got some fans, so you can't see the TT ever dying.
Great.
Well, we've got Rudy. Rudy's been coming over here as long as I can remember. He has two or three bikes, but the one he brings over to the island is well known because he has a big beer barrel on the back of it with the Manx flag. He's a member of the Black Hat Club. So when he takes his helmet off, off goes the black hat, on goes the black hat with three pheasant feathers in it. And he was telling us a story the other night that he had a nine-year-old friend. He had a friend for 9 years, a cockerel. And every meeting he went to, the cockerel went too. It sat in the pannier. So he'd let the pannier down, and when he got to the meeting, the cockerel would wander off, and 6 o'clock he's back in. Then we've got Herman the German, who's 7'24" and just as loud as his weight. We then have little Willie, who's about 7 foot, but only 22 stone, so you can understand why he's called little Willie. Then we have Peter, gentle Peter. I think he must be 8 foot nothing. He has to dip his head to get through every door in this place, and we're supposed to have doors that'll take the Sulby giant, so you can tell how tall he is. Then we have Manny. Manny drives a digger, and everybody else mad. Blonde hair, blue eyes, and never ever stops chattering. There's big competition between the Southern Germans and the Northern Germans to see who can make the most noise, and we have some Southern Germans in who roll R's, which makes dialect completely impossible. And who else have we got now? Wally, Norbert and Volker, and about 16 others who have become the Sulby Glen Guinness Drinking Club and drink me out of Guinness quite regular. They actually went off to Douglas and had T-shirts made with each letter printed on. And then when they got back to Germany, they'd had photographs taken of them, stood in front of the bar, facing one way with a pint of Guinness, then one with them all facing backwards with the Sulby Glen Guinness Club on. And they've had these printed on their T-shirts for other years. We have two or three ladies that are quite characters, two called Ushy. Both ladies are called Ushy. I don't know what they find amusing, but they never stop giggling. Never. From the time they come in the pub of the night time till they come home, they just giggle. But they're just as big as their partners. I feel quite dwarfed amongst them. Who else do we have coming over?
Mario.
Oh, Super Mario. Disco king, isn't he? As soon as the music starts, Mario starts dancing. And they have a drink called a Geisenmast. I don't know whether they drink it on the rest of the island or not, but once the music starts, a Geisenmast starts. And that we have specially imported glasses for them, the big steins, the litre and a half ones, and they have 2 measures of cherry brandy, 1.5 pints of lager, and top it up with draft Coke. And this is called Ein Geisenmast. And the ladies drink an Halpenmast, which is a pint-sized one. So these go round, and if you stand around for night time and hear them all clinking, it's great. The Guinness drinkers. Rudy plays the spoons every night when he comes in. We have a lot of doctors and policemen that ride bikes that come over, and you find the doctors want to meet other doctors here, whether it's to exchange notes, I don't know. And the policemen, they always bring over their badges. And they like to meet the local policeman because we always have a policeman on duty here. So they all like to go out to meet him, to swap badges and take those back to Germany, and the German ones get left in Ramsey. Klaus and Anna, yeah, and Waldchop.
John Kine family, you said, you know, it's probably not
Badger
culture, whatever.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know what Mr. John was getting.
Thank you, Tracy.
A retired miner. But he's had his 60th birthday here about 2 years ago. But he's like the godfather. He looks after all the clubs that come to the Claddocks. If anybody has a problem, they come to Teal. And he's very upright and very calm. But they all come with the problems and Teal sorts them all out. But he comes over in a car. So there's a biker that's not on a bike. Mm-hmm. Yeah.